Procedurally, we got here because Mr. MP passed out flyers opposing an election on school bond issue to raise money to tear down a building and build a new one. After having successfully defeated the Houston School Board about five or six times, they got the bond issue passed, and a disgruntled winner filed a complaint with the Missouri Ethics Commission saying Mr. MP wasn't putting paid for by on his flyers. An investigator of the Missouri Ethics Commission determined that there was probable cause to believe that Mr. MP violated Section 130.031.8 of the revised statutes, and turned it over to the Ethics Commission, who under Section 105.961.3 is required to conduct a hearing. And as you know, that statute was declared unconstitutional in Legends Bank, and so, but it's the same requirement in both that statute and the predecessor. And because there was a requirement for a hearing, it is a contested case for all purposes.
The hearing was to determine if there was probable cause, that right?
Yes, that's correct.
So how is that? That's a preliminary determination. That's not a finding of violation. That's a preliminary determination of probable cause. And the statute then provides it goes up for a hearing on whether or not there in fact was a violation. And under the amended one to the AHC, is that correct?
I don't agree.
Or the one that's in effect since we knocked out the amended one?
No, I don't agree, because there's statutory requirements to go to the AHC that weren't met. And it doesn't provide any type of an appeal. And it says it's a contested case for the purposes of the contested case statutes. And it's considered a contested case. It's actually a specific word.
But it provides that appeal is to the Administrative Hearing Commission, because all that the Ethics Commission has done is determine probable cause. So I'm trying to get you to address why there was some kind of final judgment that you think you could appeal to court when there'd only been a probable cause determination and not any determination of violation, if I understand correctly. Is that right? That at this point, that's all the Ethics Commission determined?
Right. That is
so
correct.
They didn't make any final determination. So how is there a final judgment?
Because their judgment says this is their final judgment and order.
Says you go up to the AHC, doesn't it? And you're saying
There's two sections that say you go to the AHC, but each of them have conditions in there upon when you can and can't go to the AHC. And neither of those were met.
Okay, tell me why again you don't think they were met.
One section says that they have to, if they refer the case to a disciplinary authority over Mr. MP.
Right.
Okay, which didn't happen.
Right.
Okay, so that's
then
what
it wouldn't go to the, okay, well, go ahead.
Then they said that then you would go to the AHC to appeal that.
Okay.
And then the other one provides that if four members of the commission vote to if they notify Mr. MP that they're voting to pursue, let's see.
Opposing counsel argues that under, if you're, there's probable cause to believe there was a violation and that action other than referral for criminal or disciplinary sanctions is appropriate, then they have to give you notice and then you can appeal to the AHC. Is that inaccurate?
I believe they are inaccurate, yes. Like I said, the condition says that if they refer it to a disciplinary authority, and if you notice, then you have the right to appeal to the AHC. But they didn't refer to anybody. They conducted a hearing, a contested case hearing, with calling witnesses, final findings of facts, conclusion of law, direct examination, cross-examination, presentment of exhibits, the whole nine yards. And in addition to that, like I said, the statute required them to do that. And that's the distinction between a contested and non-contested case.
But the trial court specifically found that because this was a probable cause determination, that the petitioner was not aggrieved and that the Constitution didn't afford him any kind of judicial review. Do you want to respond to that?
Yes. He said that Mr. MP wasn't aggrieved because he failed to exhaust his administrative remedies based upon a probable cause determination. But and I think he was relying on the Jameson case. And all the Jameson case said, as long as you get a decision based upon the preponderance of evidence either before the administrative body or the circuit court, that meets the due process requirement, and that's why it should have gone to the circuit court. And I mean, he said he wasn't aggrieved because the probable cause determination, the decision, the final binding order decision by the Missouri Ethics Commission. But if you have the same situation where you have a state merit employee who is terminated, who files with the AHC, has a hearing, the AHC says you were terminated against your constitutional rights, you're to be reinstated, and the agency for whom they work says no, then according to Judge Beaton's decision, he's not aggrieved, and he can't sue in the circuit court.
This was a situation where it was a $100 fine. I mean, generally speaking, we see AHC cases a lot in the Administrative Procedure Act when people have claims or they have different administrative claims, but not when there's a fine of $100, which takes on a different, has a different nature than a claim for relief or a claim for damages or a claim for my job back or money for that. Are there additional rights to someone when they're charged a fine of $100? Would they have a right to a jury trial? Would they have a right to an immediate adjudication in the circuit court versus the AHC?
Yes, I think under Article 5, Section 18, they have a right to direct judicial review immediately. It's still a civil suit, but there is a taking of property by the government, and basically a trampling of his, because this all boiled down to is that he had exercised his First Amendment rights to political speech. And so, yes, I don't think that any administrative body, whether it's the AHC or anyone else, has the right to adjudicate that issue, because that's exactly what was raised by and argued by the Missouri Ethics Commission. When we had the hearing before the Missouri Ethics Commission, we had filed an answer with an affirmative defense that said, hey, you can't do this. It's a violation of this First Amendment right to political speech. And they filed either a motion for summary judgment or a motion to dismiss, to strike our affirmative defense, and the Ethics Commission ruled, we can't rule on that. No administrative agency can pass on the constitutionality of that issue. Therefore,
But that doesn't affect whether or not you have to exhaust your administrative remedies prior to getting to a court who can resolve the constitutional issues. The general law, of course, is that they don't have the authority to rule on that, but that doesn't mean that you don't have to go through their process before you can seek judicial review of the whole process.
But there is no process, because
it says the Missouri Ethics Commission shall give actual notice to the subject of the complaint of the proposed action as set out in this section. The subject of the complaint may appeal the action of the Missouri Ethics Commission, other than a referral for criminal prosecution, to the Administrative Hearing Commission. Such appeal shall stay the action of the Missouri Ethics Commission, and it gives a time limit for filing it. Why didn't you do that?
They didn't give us notice of the proposed action. That's prior to the contested case hearing.
No, it's after they rule what they're going to do. So. And they give you notice of what they propose to do. After the hearing, they issued an order. What did the order say?
It says final binding decision and that he's to pay a $100 fine.
Okay, was so that's actual notice of the subject of the complaint, to the subject of the complaint of the proposed action. That was your notice. And then you appeal to the Administrative Hearing Commission.
Okay, and so I'm going to appeal to an administrative agency that, again, has no authority to rule on the issue, the constitutionality of the person.
So you don't, but that's our administrative process, so that's a very different claim. You're saying administrative agencies can't rule, can't review.
A second, one administrative agency.
That's very different.
But how's that any different than the process we have in all sorts of other administrative process? You have to exhaust your administrative remedies. I mean, you have a judicial remedy after you go to the AHC, right?
Right, but you can't do two administrative hearings. You can't have one administrative agency ruling on the administrative decision of the prior administrative agency. That's Article 5, well, Section 18.
But the first one's just a probable cause determination at the lower level, at the Ethics Commission level. It's just a probable cause determination.
But he was ordered to pay a $100 fine. That's not a probable cause determination.
Well, no, saying that's what they thought. How's
that any different?
If you appeal it, it's stayed. And it's only a probable cause. It's not a finding of violation. You can appeal it and get a determination on the merits under the statute. I'm sorry, Judge Fisher, go ahead.
You can answer her question.
So I got lost between the two.
No
idea where we are.
Sorry.
If the statute, as you've argued, requires that the commission may initiate formal judicial proceedings seeking to obtain any of the following orders, and that's pay civil penalties required by the statute, So you argue you can't appeal if they didn't make that referral. But does the assessment of the fine have any effect if they didn't make the referral?
No, I don't think so.
So if it doesn't have any effect, then your client hasn't been harmed. If they have to make the referral to give effect to their desire to assess a fine, and because they make the referral, then you have a right to appeal it. The lack of a referral then means their action has no validity. Is that a misreading of the statute?
Yeah, I didn't get that out of it. What I got out of it was the referral is if the Ethics Commission decides to refer something, they refer it up front. They make when the investigator refers to them, says, I think there's been a violation here, there's a disciplinary authority other than the Ethics Commission over this person, and the statute sets forth a bunch of different ones, then they kick it over to that disciplinary authority, who then, when after that disciplinary authority finishes, then you appeal to the AHC. Okay? But they didn't refer anything to anybody. They took it, they handled it, they had a civil action against him.
What happens if they don't pay the $100 fine?
For them to do it in that form?
If they don't get the $100 fine, they simply go to the circuit court and they enforce their order.
And how do they enforce it?
Just like every other administrative decision that's not a judgment, they simply go in there and say, hey, we run into this decision, we're entitled to our money, and we want a judgment giving us the court to give us a judgment. And then
now how do they collect? They put him in jail if he doesn't pay the $100, or they garnish his wages? What do they do to collect the $100?
Civil enforcement. Civil enforcement, garnish bank accounts, liens.
But they didn't do that here. Instead, they issued that order saying a fine will be imposed of $100 because they found probable cause that you had violated the law. They didn't find you had violated it. And then they gave you a notice that says, pursuant to the section we were quoting, this action of the Missouri Ethics Commission may be appealed to the Administrative Hearing Commission within 14 days.
Yes.
But you didn't follow that.
No, I thought under Article 5, Section 18, we had a right to go direct to judicial review.
The arguments in your brief suggested, at least I understood them to say, that you had to go to the AHC, but that was an unconstitutional requirement. The argument you're making today sounds like you didn't have to go to the AHC at all.
Right. In my reply brief, I explained that. I don't think the statutory requirements to go to the AHC were met.
As the appellant, I'm not concerned with what's in your reply brief as much as I am what's in your point relied on, which I don't think raises the issue of whether the statutes envision you going to the AHC at all. Is that a claim that you raised in a point relied on, or were those limited only to the requirement sending you to the AHC being unconstitutional?
Well, I didn't raise that until the reply brief because they hadn't had an opportunity to file a brief to say that he should have gone to the AHC. Under Article 5, Section 18, I think that the statute was unconstitutional because it requires a second administrative review of the first administrative agency, neither of which can pass on the constitutional issue.
Yes.
They didn't raise below that you had to go to the AHC? That surely they raised in the – you filed something in the –
No. Not that I remember. I don't remember them saying that we had to go to the AHC.
They didn't argue you didn't exhaust your administrative remedies?
Well, it depends. As you know, there was no record kept at several of these hearings that we had in front of Judge Beadham. At the first one, they came in and admitted that we were in the right court, they've done everything right, everything correctly, and they had admitted absolutely everything under the thing. And then at the very end of the hearing, someone else stepped in for that one and said, no, I don't, and they argued it wasn't a contested case, and this was not a final order, and it was just some sort of an intermediate type of a thing. But then after we got out of the circuit court, then they changed what they had said previously, and there's no record to prove it.
Okay, thank counsel, you. Thank you. You're out of time, but you'll have 3 minutes on rebuttal. Yeah.
May it please the Court, Assistant Attorney General Matthew Ladano, appearing on behalf of respondents, Missouri Ethics Commission, and others. We ask this Court to affirm the ruling of the Cole County Circuit Court dismissing Impey's petition for judicial review. Impey failed to exhaust his administrative remedy, and the statute that created that administrative remedy is not unconstitutional under Article 5, Section 18 of Missouri's Constitution. I'd like to start with some clarifications from opposing counsel's arguments. First of all, the commission absolutely did raise the issue of exhaustion of administrative remedies before the Cole County Circuit Court. That's clear in the record on appeal. Secondly, there's been some misstatements about the way the statute at issue works here. First of all, if a complaint is filed with the Ethics Commission, then it must investigate that complaint. If the investigator finds reasonable cause to believe that a violation of the ethics laws occurred, then it refers that investigative report to the commission and its commissioners. If the commission determines that a violation of the criminal law hasn't occurred or that referral for criminal prosecution is not appropriate, but the commission believes that reasonable cause exists to find that a violation of the ethics laws occurred, then it will hold a probable cause hearing. It's after that probable cause hearing occurs, and it's after the commissioners, at least four of them, find that there's probable cause to believe that a violation of the ethics laws has occurred, that they would provide notice to the affected citizen of his right to seek administrative review with the AHC.
Now, administrative review of probable cause is not a trial. It's just review of whether or not there's probable cause. When do you have the final decision? If the hearing commission only finds probable cause, that doesn't mean that a final judgment or conviction, so to speak.
Right.
Is it up to the circuit court then to have a trial on the probable cause, just like you would a prosecutor in a trial?
The hearing, following a probable cause determination by the commission, if a citizen were to appeal to the AHC, they would get a de novo contested case proceeding, and the standard governing that proceeding is the preponderance of the evidence standard. So a finding following the AHC process would be subject to judicial review to the circuit court.
So it's not really a review hearing, it's a de novo hearing.
Your Honor, correct. It's referred to as de novo review, but it's
like going from municipal court to associate circuit court, and you get a new hearing there.
Right. The AHC remakes the decision, except in this case, they're not going to use a probable cause standard. Nothing in the statute indicates that.
But the circuit court, on reviewing, only reviews the record at the AHC. They do not have a new de novo trial.
That's correct, Your Honor. If after the AHC process the citizen were still aggrieved, then they could take their case to circuit court, and the circuit court would perform judicial review under 536.14.
Well, that's a $100 fine or $1 million fine. That would be the procedure.
That would be the procedure, correct. And of note, the commission actually has no authority to impose a fine. The language in the statute is fee, and that is the language that we find.
And who does have the authority to impose a fine?
Well, I don't see any language in the Ethics Commission statute that indicates the word fine.
Who then enforces the $100 or $1 million, if it were that much money? Who then enforces that judgment?
Well, Your Honor, first of all, it's important to point out that following the probable cause determination and the proposed action, that's the language from the statute, the proposed action of the commission, the commission cannot simply by MP's failure to exhaust go to a circuit court and seek enforcement of its probable cause.
So the commission has a hearing, and they say they're guilty by preponderance of the evidence. The fine is justified. Then the enforcement would be in the circuit court, or the circuit court would review it. Who then enforces the whatever you call it, the $100, or as I said, if it's $1 million, who enforces that?
If the citizen appeals to the AHC and the AHC decides that a $100 fee imposition is appropriate, then the citizen could either pay the fee or seek judicial review. If the fee is upheld by the circuit court, then you have a judgment.
And what if they don't either pay or seek review? How do you enforce it?
Well, again, it depends on when they stop, Your Honor.
No, we've just gotten to the AHC, and you gave me the two eventualities, if they pay it or seek review of it. What if after the AHC decision, they just don't pay?
Yeah, after the AHC decision, if the AHC decision were to uphold the imposition of a fee, then you have a final decision from an administrative agency in a contested case, and if it's not appealed from there, then the agency can seek enforcement.
What agency? The Ethics Commission then has enforcement authority at that
yes,
point?
Okay. Yes,
that's the question.
Yes.
Were the letters that were sent to him consistent with that interpretation of the statute?
I think you're referring, Your Honor, to the letters that were attached to opposing counsel's reply brief. I would first point out that those are nowhere in the record on appeal. But secondly, as to the letters, I think the first letter from the Attorney General's office is consistent with the Ethics Commission's authorities under the statute. The second letter, you know, regrettably references a debt, and I think that's incorrect. Following the Ethics Commission's probable cause determination, it has rendered no final decision as an agency. And so it can't go to a court and ask a court to enforce its probable cause determination.
Did its order call it a final decision?
Your Honor, I think that the Ethics Commission's order... I think the Ethics Commission's probable cause determination was styled final, but the attack from MPE to this court is...
Well, it says order, and with it, it says you can appeal this to the AHC.
It certainly does say that, Your Honor. And the attack from MPE to this court is about the constitutionality of the administrative process found in the statute, not about what the Ethics Commission may have done with regard to Mr. MPE in this case. And as was pointed out previously, the argument has now shifted. Now we have an argument that says it's impossible to get to the AHC.
Well, usually when you deal with an administrative agency, you get a decision, a final decision, from the administrative agency, then it could be appealed for review or dealt with. But if you're saying the final decision is only a probable cause, they're not making a decision that he owes the money. They're saying there's probable cause, and to get the decision that they owe money, they have to take it outside the agency to the AHC.
Well, that's right, Your Honor. And right, the Ethics Commission fundamentally did not render a final decision in this case. Their process under the statute of 105-961 is akin to the process we see in the healing arts cases cited in the commission's brief, Artman and Walker. There, the statute required the Board of Healing Arts to hold a probable cause hearing. They absolutely had to do it under the statute. But the court ruled that because the Healing Arts Board, following that hearing, could not make a final and binding determination as to the physician's rights, duties, and privileges under the law, that the hearing was merely investigative in nature. It's important to point out that the Healing Arts Board, under the statute of incompetency that it was moving under in those cases, had authority only based on probable cause to order the reexamination of a physician. And if that physician refused to submit to that reexamination, the board could hold that refusal against them and essentially go forward with a summary disciplinary process where they would have the authority to revoke the physician's license for up to 7 years.
But that's not the case in the Ethics Commission situation.
That's correct, Your Honor. We see no kind of authority that impactful to a citizen with the Ethics Commission under this statute. Under this statute, the Ethics Commission can't decide anything that's free from contested case review. If they determine that there was probable cause that a citizen violated an ethics law, that decision is subject to contested case review. If they determine that a fee, even of $100, should be imposed, that determination is subject to contested case review.
And yet Ethics Commission can take it up for administrative review, or is it the person charged that can take it up for administrative review?
It is the citizen who's aggrieved who can take it up.
And what if they don't take it up for review? What happens?
Well, and that's where we are here, Your Honor. And you know,
what happens... But all happens, you have is a probable cause. You don't have a decision.
Well, isn't this like analogous to the default proceeding in it, like when the officer sends in the suspending of your driver's license based upon a probable cause affidavit, and if you want a hearing on that, you have to ask for it. And if you don't ask for a hearing, then you suffer the consequences.
Well, Your Honor, the difference may be here that the Ethics Commission, because it has not rendered a final decision, cannot simply leverage MP's failure to exhaust as a final decision. There is no final decision in this case.
We went by a very important crossroad there. If the commission finds that the citizen violated this statute and owes a $100 fee,
probable cause.
Yeah. They find probable cause that occurred, and the citizen does nothing, doesn't pay, doesn't go to the AHC, doesn't do anything, and the commission wants to proceed. Where do they go?
The commission, under the statute, Your Honor, has the authority to seek payment of that fee by civil action.
And what happens there?
If the commission were to institute a civil action for imposition of this fee from a court, Your Honor, there is no preclusive effect of their probable cause determination.
They have to prove from scratch that the violation occurred and that the fee is owed.
Yes, Your Honor.
And they have the burden of proof.
Yes.
And it's by a preponderance.
And also, could the citizen raise any constitutional arguments at that time?
Yes, Your Honor. The citizen could.
So the failure to exhaust remedies only precludes, in your argument, the citizen from himself filing an action in circuit court to set aside the probable cause determination. The person who was assessed the fee here would have, in your understanding of the law, the right to litigate on the merits all these issues before they would ever have to pay the fee.
That's right. If the citizen chose to require the commission to initiate a civil action against it, and the commission chose to take that step, right.
But you say they'd have to go to the, if they want to go and exhaust their remedies, they have to go to the Administrative Hearing Commission and not to the Circuit Court.
That's correct.
The citizen would have to go to the Administrative Hearing Commission, whereas the commission would go straight to the Circuit Court. They wouldn't go, if they wanted to enforce their probable cause or pursue that, they'd go straight to the Circuit Court, not to the AHC.
Well, that's correct, Your Honor, and that's because the commission's really not enforcing anything. The commission, under its statutory power, is initiating a civil action so that the court will impose payment of a fee, which the commission has not done at this time.
So if the citizen doesn't want to go to the AHC, if the commission wants to enforce it, they go straight to the Circuit Court. But if the citizen doesn't want to enforce, they have to go to the AHC first. They cannot go to the Circuit Court.
Well, right. If the citizen wants to challenge the commission's determination, that citizen's opportunity is to appeal to the Administrative Hearing Commission. And once the citizen misses that opportunity, then it can't challenge the probable cause determination and the proposed action of the commission.
But since that's not a final determination of liability, there's no obligation to pay at that point.
That's right. It really is just about who would be controlling the litigation. The statute gives the citizen who is affected by this probable cause determination and by the commission's proposed action an opportunity to control the litigation and challenge even that intermediary step by the commission. But once the failure to exhaust occurs, then the citizen has lost that opportunity. They still have the right.
But that opportunity gives up their right to be answered. If they didn't appeal it to the AHC, and the commission went to the circuit court, they'd have a full hearing in the circuit court on all the merits of the probable cause by the commission. But if they go to the AHC, and assumedly maybe the jury trial if they're in the circuit court, but if they do assert their rights, they have to go to the AHC, and they get no jury trial, and the circuit court just reviews it.
Well, Your Honor, yes, but it's up to the citizen. I mean, the citizen can choose.
They can basically choose to do an administrative hearing, contested case review, then a circuit court, or not do that and then take their chance that maybe they won't owe anything, or if the commission decides to try to enforce it, then they can have a brand new hearing in circuit court.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And to take that a step further, if the commission initiates an action in the circuit court, then the citizen is not precluded from challenging the validity of that action by their failure to exhaust administrative remedies.
They are not precluded by their failure to exhaust this administrative remedy. Correct, Your Honor.
No further questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, Counsel.
All right, to clarify, subsection 3 of 105.961 says that after the commission determines by a vote of 4 members probable cause exists and the commission has referred findings and conclusions to the appropriate disciplinary authority, then this subject can appeal to AHC. They did not refer the findings. We have no opportunity to go to the AHC. The next section is subsection 5, where it says, if 4 of the members of the commission vote to initiate formal judicial proceedings, meaning an action in the circuit court, then if you skip down, it says, then he can appeal to the AHC again. So there's absolutely no statutory authority in this case that Mr. Impey had to go anywhere near the AHC.
Where's your authority to seek review in circuit court of the probable cause determination?
536.100.
There has to be a final decision of an agency.
Right. And we have.
How is a probable cause determination a final decision of an agency?
Well, this court said,
it's not being reviewed, in other words, if you get an entirely new hearing.
Well, because this court said that when an agency issues a final decision, the word final makes it a final decision.
But it's as to probable cause, which is a preliminary matter. It's
right.
Not a final decision on a violation.
But then Mr. Rimkus is left with no recourse, none.
And why do you need a recourse, I'm asking?
Because Mr. Rimkus would like to challenge the constitutionality of the law, and he's sitting there.
Then we just have to wait till they try to enforce it, because right now there's no enforcement. There's been no finding of a violation. There's all there has been is a determination there's probable cause to believe there was a violation.
Right.
But they haven't actually found
with that,
one.
He's tainted with that probable cause finding. It's been put all over the newspapers. The Ethics Commission posted on the website.
How is that different than in a criminal case where there might have been a probable cause determination at a preliminary hearing to proceed, but then you don't end up having the trial? You don't get to appeal that preliminary hearing.
Right, but then you at least get to go on to a trial. And
if they decide, or they could drop the case.
Right, but then you've got a drop that's public record that says, in fact, you know, I am not guilty. They drop the charges. It's over. Yeah. And if they would come out and do something like that, that would be fine. But they won't. They're leaving it there saying, we found this guy violated the law, and he's the newspapers in Houston, Missouri are blasting this, saying Mr. Impey's a lawbreaker. See what it says. He's did all this stuff wrong. And they're using that to then criticize his pamphlets and leaflets that hands out. So you can't believe anything he says because the Missouri Ethics Commission has said that he violates the law and this is wrong. And so what you're doing is you're suppressing his free speech by implication through the way you're cutting off his rights to go to the AHC because there's both statutory requirements were never met. He can't go there and you're preventing him from going to circuit court. He's somebody who's been branded a violator with absolutely no recourse. And that's the Door case.
Okay. Any further questions? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
The matter will be taken and submitted.